You never know who's going to walk in here in this building.
No.
Some people don't meet the height requirement to walk through the door.
Sal Haney.
Wow, is that a shot at our next guest?
No, it isn't.
All I know is that wasn't me, Andy.
I was talking about a high-ranking member of music management in this building who might be the only guy
that
can look Andy Hart right directly in his eye. Andy Hart with us on the Harbor One hotline.
Well, I actually saw like an 8-year-old girl earlier today, I thought like maybe you could. Hi, Andy.
At least I was ripping Andy and a friend. You insulted him by the 8-year-old.
That means I
like
him.
The 8-year-old may be a future WNBA player. Maybe she's big for her age. Jeez.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point, Hart. Now, I know that you tweeted this out, but where's Waldo right now?
Waldo is at North Attleboro High School watching his son's lacrosse team get smoked.
Ooh, really?
You're
my old neck of the woods.
We were rooting for a close game for you because then we might have heard live Andy Hart yelling at an official. But if they're getting blowed out.
Well, all we really care about is how is young Andy Hart doing? That's really, who cares about the team? It's all about individual achievement at this point.
He's actually hurt. So, not a great day all around. I think he pulled a hip flexor, and he scored one goal, and he got pulled.
So it's like Bergeron in Montreal. 5 minutes in and out, huh?
Yep, and I drove an hour to see nothing. But I get to talk to you guys on the phone, so that's cool.
There's got to be... Listen, North Attleboro is not far from Foxborough. I'm sure that you can find yourself a nice lunch spot to make that trip worth it.
You ever heard of Mochi Donuts?
No.
Okay, there's a place like about a mile and a half away from that school. It's called Pinku, P-I-N-K-U. I don't know if I'm even saying it right.
Okay.
It's in Attleboro.
Sounds dirty.
Mochi. I know, right? I know. Mochi Donuts. Go there. It's like 5 minutes away from where that school is. There's a suggestion. See how many you can eat by the time you get home.
I will be doing it because I got to get something out of this trip. So far, it's a big old stink egg.
Well, maybe you can go visit Bill O'Brien. Maybe he'll look at you differently like everybody else on the Patriots roster because apparently it is a clean slate. What did you make of that?
I liked it, quite honestly. I mean, isn't that what we need? Remember in the old days, 4A was probably your era, you bury the ball in the practice field after you get whooped by the Dolphins. Like,
I think that happened season, once.
Yeah, that season needs to be buried. Clean slate, whatever you want to call it, last year. And, my takeaway was it was interesting because that was clearly the theme for Bill O'Brien when asked about Mac Jones and the offense. You know, we've only been here 2 days, but clean slate and all that. But my biggest takeaway yesterday, I just thought there was an air of authority from the main characters that we spoke with. Bill O'Brien, certainly. I think we expected that. The guy's been an NFL head coach. He's an offensive expert. But even Gerard Mayo, so he doesn't have a title, but it's clear he carries a lot of weight in the building, right? It's clear that he's probably the heir apparent to the job. And I thought even Matt Groh, when he was at the podium, he didn't really reference Bill Belichick. You know, he was talking about the draft like it was his baby, like he was in charge of it as the director of player personnel. And that was the vibe I got, that these guys are now very much key figures in New England for the Patriots. And Bill can maybe do a little less, right? Maybe pick his spots instead of the old Steve Belichick phrase, he still wears all the hats. I don't think he wears all the hats anymore. I think there's a bunch of guys that are helping wear the hats.
So, I mean, speaking of the coaches, so I know Gerard Mayo still admitted that, Steve is still going to call plays.
Yep.
I'm just curious, why not Steve Belichick front and center? I just feel like I know it's their own little system. Whoa. Okay. But, I mean, shouldn't he be front and center more than Gerard Mayo? I always felt like it's a weird relationship. One guy's calling the plays, but the other guy speaks on his behalf.
Because I think Steve Belichick doesn't necessarily want to be front and center, right? Like, we've heard the balance of those two. Part of it is because Steve isn't overly comfortable, in a big group team meeting, controlling the room and being that guy out front. He's more than comfortable game planning. He's more than comfortable coaching. He's more than comfortable calling plays and making faces on the sideline, but he doesn't want to be the face of the defense. He doesn't want to be the guy. And I think this is he's available, right? He was there while Gerard is talking to whatever it was, 25 or 30 reporters. There's a couple guys in the back of the room with Steve Belichick talking to him about the setup and the role and everything. But part of the reality is, and I think we could see this moving forward, Gerard Mayo is your head coach and sort of defensive CEO with a play caller, Steve, and then Bill O'Brien's your offensive CEO. And I think everybody's happy with that. I don't think Steve Belichick wants to be in front of the cameras answering all the questions. I don't think that's his personality and his makeup. He's very happy in the role he's in.
Is this the best staff that the Patriots have had since the early 2000s?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it holds a candle to those staffs, which were, you know, all right. Future head coaches, guys that have been around the NFL and Belichick and Parcells for so long. But, yeah, absolutely. When you add a guy, I think Bill O'Brien said he's got 30-plus years of experience, half in college, half in the pros. When you add a guy like that, you add a guy like Adrian Clem, and we've looked at it differently over the years, some of, even post-Scarnecchia, where we had some of these lower-level offensive line coaches, guys coming from small schools, small college programs. Like, Adrian Clem has played in the NFL. He's coached in the NFL. He's coached at a high level in college. Adrian Clem is a high-level assistant coach, and he's being paid like that. So, yeah, I absolutely think this is obviously from last year, this is an upgrade on the coaching staff, but it's a respectable one.
It is amazing, Andy. I feel like I have a PTSD, referencing, that last year. Just, it's amazing to me still to this day that one of the greatest coaches in the history of all sports allowed that to happen. Like, was okay with it, coast, and then allowed it to continue on throughout the season. One last time before I put it away forever. Like, why? Like, what does that say about Bill and, I guess, his overall loyalty or stubbornness?
Loyalty, stubbornness, ego. I mean, I think there's a bunch of confidence, overconfidence. I
arrogance.
Think
there's another one. Which one? What do you think is more? Which one of all those little options do you think has more to do with his decision last year? Which one?
I think it's overconfidence that trended into arrogance. And I think some of the overconfidence, we talked about it, what was it, a month ago when Steve Belichick was joking about when he took over the safeties, he walked into the room and said, I got no idea what I'm doing in here. Like, Bill had gotten away with it. I think he's gotten away with it in various ways with personnel and coaching over the years where he tried experiments, he tried different things, and they worked out. Now, the critic of Belichick will immediately say, oh, yeah, it worked out because Tom Brady was his quarterback. And that's fair. That's part of the equation. That's part of the calculus. But it's not totally dissimilar to the Aaron Hernandez drafting, where everybody goes, how could you have drafted Aaron Hernandez? And my response is, because over the previous 35 years, Belichick had drafted other bad guys, questionable guys, guys with bad ties, and they didn't turn into murderers. And that tends to embolden you to take more chances moving forward, right? When you have experiences that everybody else tells you one thing and you think something else and it works out for you, it emboldens you for the next time. But they went a step too far this time. And we all knew it, right? We all talked about it. We all knew it at the time. And my biggest question is, has he really taken responsibility for it? Remember the preseason interview when he told Shaughnessy, if this goes wrong, blame me. I'll take the blame. Has he taken the blame yet? Because it seems like he hasn't. It seems like he's made moves that show us that he knows he screwed up. But has he really come forward and said, listen, we had an experiment. I'll use Robert's word. We had an experiment last year that went horribly wrong. My bad. Let's move forward. Nope. You know what he did? He said last 25 years. He wanted us to remember all the good stuff, not the most recent bad stuff.
And I also think, too, Andy Hart of WEEI.com here with Gresham Fauria, I also think that from the Belichick end, there is the pushing it on the players. That he, it seems like Bill, is trying to make it about, hey, listen, while the coaches weren't good enough, none of you people were either. And that's the whole, clean slate, da-da-da. It feels like Bill is trying to deflect away from, well, yeah, I screwed up, but guess what? Even though that guy might have ruined some of you, you guys were all a part of this too, and he's trying to make everybody sing for their supper again.
No question. And he is the guy that tells us, hasn't he said often over the years that players win games, coaches lose them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't last year a case of a coach and his decision lost games, lost the year. He lost the year, and yet I don't feel like he's saying that, and I agree with you. I feel like it's trying to be like, we need to be better. We need to move forward. We have a clean slate. Well, no, Bill, you're at the head of that chart. If you did a better job last year, we would have been a better team. So I mean, I guess we're nitpicking over it. They clearly turned the page, and I think they've turned the page in a massively positive way. Whether Bill took the blame or not, who cares? You have Bill O'Brien. You have Gerard Mayo. You have Matt Groh. And I think they are moving in a positive direction.
So we're talking to Andy Harden. Andy, Bill O'Brien talked about the three phases, about, you know, how close they're going to get, in that quarterback room and that offense. How important are these phases in, as opposed to other seasons? Now, are you actually going to retain anything and, you know, bring it back in August when this thing starts officially?
Yeah, I think this is a huge offseason from day one, like tone setting, sort of the culture within the building. Like, for so long, you lived off of the Patriot way and the culture in the building, whether it was newcomers, rookies, whatever. I think everything went sideways last year, and we can talk about singular decisions that led that, but that wasn't the only aspect of it. There were mistakes made in a lot of areas by a lot of people, and I think when you have such a bad year, such a dysfunctional year, to use the word that the Herald used for their story, it starts from day one, creating that foundation and that culture that we used to talk a lot about, like how important OTAs were, how, you know, Tom Brady in his early part of his career talking about day by day, every rep mattered, you build on it, it's step by step, rep by rep. I think this offseason is a perfect example of that, especially with new coaches, new scheme, new key players in a few different areas. I think if they don't start off on the right foot, and, you know, like when you're in your front yard with your kid and you get that little snowball and then it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, you want a good, clean snowball, not the one that's picking up grass and dirt and mud along the way. Then you end up with an ugly snowman.
You know, well, that's an interesting analogy there, I must say.
I was waiting for how this kind of related to what we were talking about. I get it now. I'm on board.
You know what? Since we're talking about the staff, and Hart, I haven't even run this by Fourier yet, so it's the first time I get to roll this out, and it's directed to you. We heard last year that Bill Belichick was taking on a bit of a different role, much more hands-on on offense, things like that. We know that he's always met with the quarterback's game plan, da-da-da. What is Bill Belichick's role as head coach this year? Does he redefine how he redefined himself last year, or does he keep sticking his nose in on both ends?
No, I think he I think he's an overseer now. We talked about, Fitzy and I talked about this yesterday on our, we recorded a Six Rings podcast. The word I'm about to use is probably strong, but I think there's like a semi-retirement. Like the 71-year-old now has, you know, you look at that Bobby Bowden late in his career at Florida State with Jimbo Fisher, and Bowden's driving around on the golf cart checking in at various spots. I think the trust and the faith that Bill has in this staff and in these coaches will allow him to wear less of those hats and figure out where his expertise or his energy is most needed and most beneficial to the team. And maybe that's on defense, maybe that's at specific positions, but I think that's what comes when you trust. And we haven't even talked about Joe Judge sort of slotting back over to special teams. Joe Judge, Gerard Mayo, Steve Belichick, Bill O'Brien, there's guys he can rely on and have faith that they know what they're doing. And I think that should be a benefit to him, his energy, and the way sort of he divvies up his contributions to what this team is going to need as he figures it out. And that's the other thing. He doesn't have to go in saying, geez, this offense is going to be a mess. I have to coach offense. I think he can figure out where they're light, where they need a little expertise, and where he can bestow his knowledge upon the coaches and players.
Okay, and not for nothing. Let me just kind of cap this. I said I wouldn't go back to it, but I lied. So I feel like, so where's Matt Patricia now? Like, so where is he at? What's his role? What's he doing? Is he involved in any way, shape, or form?
I am not aware that he is involved.
Thank God.
Doesn't mean he couldn't be. Well, see,
I'm not like that. I don't really know if I appreciate that. It's not his fault.
Who, Matt Patricia? Coach.
Not his fault.
Yeah. He's a good coach who worked his way up and made a lot of contributions for a lot of years until he was asked to do a job he wasn't qualified to do. It was a terrible decision. The only problem I have with Matt Patricia is when he said yes. He should have said no, Bill. This is a terrible idea. This is a dumb idea. This isn't going to work.
Yeah, but people with pride would have done that. Instead, he's, oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing me in. Can I have another bowl of porridge?
No, he's one of those loyal guys that just trust Bill. And regardless of how bad it looks.
On.
Oh, are you serious?
You're going to blame him? You're going to scapegoat him?
I'm with you. No, here's the... No, there are two things. Number one, if he did have a little bit of pride or maybe belief in the coaching ability, maybe he was too arrogant in saying yes. But I think a lot of people would be like, no, this could ruin my career. And if he's such a great football coach on the defensive side, why are we still talking about what this guy's doing? How come nobody hired this dude?
Because the one missing piece, everybody has a landing spot. And everybody has benefited. Everybody has kind of starting with a clean slate, except the one guy that was put in the worst possible position. That's all I'm just saying. It's like the poor little like Matt Patricia's of the world. You think he's if he had more pride, he would have walked away. Listen,
or said no. Like
he's guilty. He's guilty of being trustworthy, being a good soldier, and that's exactly what Bill created in him.
So he fell for the mind trick.
Yes, absolutely. But he's conditioned to say yes.
His mentor and the greatest coach in the history of football, from what I've been told for the last 20 years, his mentor, that guy said, no, you can do this.
Yeah.
This will be okay. I have faith in you. I trust you. And if that person tells you that, it's hard to say no. It's hard to pass it up. He's asking you maybe to return the favor. Listen, you've gotten a lot from me over the years. I need you. I need you to do this. I just think that is a tough position to say no, but that to me was his only – his only mistake was taking on something that he probably knew down deep wasn't going to work.
So we don't see. I honestly feel like he's so like stigmatized now that I don't think he gets a job like for a while.
Oh, he'll be an analyst at Alabama next year and then slide into a role and all that. Yeah, it'll happen.
So they fast tracked him too fast. Like the whole like, hey, Denver Broncos are going to make him their linebacker coach. That was just a good old boy solid to kind of, you know, fix his reputation.
Yep. No question. That was a friend of Belichick. You know, that was at Bill's behest and it, whatever. I guess it didn't work out, but there will be another one of those. I think Gresh is right. He'll either be at Alabama or
Iowa. Maybe Michigan.
People at Iowa aren't going to be at Iowa.
Well,
they're not going to be at Iowa.
Yeah, well, so. I'll tell you what, though. That head coach will be leaving with a Brinks truck.
Did you see?
Ferentz, oh, my God. They owe him like $50 million if they get rid of him.
Did you see, like, the offensive coordinator at the University of Iowa, they have these clauses where, like, it's if they don't, like, basically beat everybody and go to the national championship, they're all fired.
Yeah, it's all statistical. And that's Brian Ferentz. That's the former Patriots tight ends coach. That's going to lose his job if he doesn't reach those very, very defined numbers and incentives.
Oh, sweet Jesus. If Kirk Ferentz ever gets let go, he'll be here in 30 seconds because Bill will be like, oh, wait, they got to pay you $50 million over how many years? Oh, sure. Come on in.
And if you were to, you could sit there and you will give you a title on them. And then next year, you can be a head coach again. Go to
the true Patriot way.
That's the true
Patriot way.
And that's my point with Matt Patricia. We take care of our own. Really?
Gotta have a fall guy.
Where's his golden parachute?
When DeMarcus Covington leaves to go be a D coordinator or a head coach somewhere, here comes Kirk Ferentz in to have like a goofy title or something like that. Our friend Andy Hart has been kind enough to join us while watching bad lacrosse.
Yeah. Well, listen, on the text line, a lot of people are trying to figure out where you were. One person said, "Is he whale watching?" Because it did sound like you were out on the water and you were like whale watching.
I think that's the outdoor school bell that they're still on, even though it's vacation week. I think that was the change of classes bells that come here at North Attleboro.
Hard, actually, a live, local, and late breaking question for you. When Jermaine Wiggins offers you the offensive coordinator job at Brockton High School, will you say no, unlike Matt Patricia?
Yes, I would absolutely say no. I do not want to fall on my face and ruin my career the way Matt Patricia did. But Christian Fourier, I got to think, in the running for a spot on that.
I think on my days of... Nope.
What would you, coach, considering you did openly, maybe not lobby, but you sort of put it out there that, hey, you need a coach, and your name came up.
You know who I'd like to be? I'd like to be as Bearsh, just as guy in the background, or as Ernie Adams.
You do not
give ideas.
Stop it. You know who you don't want to be? His PR guy.
Well, but that's Bearsh too.
No, it isn't.
No, but I'm saying that like
Stacey James is.
No, I know, but how does info get to Stacey James? It's through Bearsh. It's not like Bill's telling him directly.
Don't know that. That's an inside thing. You don't want to be the face of Wiggy's PR. You want to be in the background. You want to be just behind the scenes so when it goes bad, you can get the hell out with your reputation.
Oh, you don't have any stank on you?
Yeah, but Hart, you mentioned about being Wiggy's Bearsh, but, you know, what would you be asked to clean up? You know what I mean? Like if you're
9-2.
If you're kind of the do boy, you know what I mean? Like, do you really want to put yourself in that spot?
Yeah, you're right. Make me the Ernie Adams. I just want to be a football analyst, and when things go well, I'll take the credit, and when they don't go well, you never hear about me.
Well, I tell you what you could do. You're going to have to explain to like 80% of that team that he's coaching that why they didn't get scholarships to universities.
Oh,
I feel like he indirectly – I feel like he indirectly promised them all scholarships. I can play at Penn State. Coach Wiggy said he's going to help me.
Poor Wiggy.
Well, listen, you'll be there to help him, Hart. I can't wait. You and Wiggy yelling from the sidelines at an official?
He'll be in the booth. He'll have to yell from the booth.
I can hear
booth.
Wiggy now. Yeah, here's the Monday breakdown. Coach Hart's here with all his stuff, and Hart goes in with a pencil in his ear and stuff.
The good, bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the ugly.
He is hot.
There was a lot of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. That's right. Andy, thank you, brother. We appreciate it. I will see you Friday and Monday because Foyer's out.
Yeah, and check your phone. Right. I just sent you a little website, so go get some donuts.
I'm going to get some pink coo. Let's go.